Kesher Shem Tov Simen Chav Tes. In Chav Tes and Lam, these two Torahs in the Baal Shem Tov HaKadosh, are teaching us that one of the conditions for being close to HaKadosh Baruch Hu is the feeling that you're far from Him. That feeling that you're far from Him is one of the conditions of truly approaching Him. So he says, Me'abal Shem Tov Atu Hu Hashem Elokeinu, page 96, Simchav Tes, Atu Hu Hashem Elokeinu. Now, that sounds, you can't get better than that. Atu Hashem Elokeinu. He's speaking directly to Hashem. And he's saying, Atu Hashem Elokeinu. The Pasuk in Navi, it's in Davening. Peyush kishesoyver ha'odam shu noichach Hashem. When a person's thinking that just like this, he's noichach Hashem. He is standing right next to Hashem. He's opposite. Nochach means he's facing Hashem. Toar ata, which is expressed in the word ata. Ata, you. You. You're able to address Hashem in such a way because you're facing Him. So that sounds great. But Peyush kishesoyver ha'odam shu noichach Hashem tara'ato ozu rochal kim Hashem. When a person feels that, he doesn't feel that this is something which is a privilege. He doesn't feel unworthy. He feels that it's kum to me, you know, it's coming to me. And he could just, and that without any humility, Without any fear, cheshbon nefesh, he could just ata. So the Baal Shem says, "Ozu rochim Hashem." That person is far from Hashem. To our who? If you think that it's so easy, it's ata, then it's really for you. Hashem is who? Who is he? Meaning, the opposite of nochach, nistar, hidden. Right? In Lashon HaKodesh, when you're speaking to somebody, you say ata. When you're speaking about somebody, you say who. The pasuk could say ata Hashem Elokeinu. Like we say when we make a bracha, bracha ata Hashem Elokeinu Melech HaOlam. It could say in the pasuk ata Hashem Elokeinu. What's ata who? So Hashem is saying that a Jew has to remember what a schus it is. And to be humbled by that thought, that of course Hashem wants us to be close to Him. He wants us to feel that closeness. But if you're getting too comfortable and too cozy too quick, and it's not something that you think about and you realize, so then that ata you, really it means who. It means he. He is nista. He means he's far away. But when a person is humble and he feels that on his own Hashem is hidden from him and far away, which is who? Tarahu. Ozu kar v'nechach Hashem. Then you're really close to Hashem. Toar Hashem Elokeinu. Hashem, our God. Then once again, it becomes mine. I become close to Him. You following? So, Ata Hu Hashem Elokeinu. The Baal Shem is saying, Ata? Azoi, Ata? You think that it's like this, buddies? Ata? You should know. You feel like that? Who? Hashem is distant. Who? He. Him. He's distant. But if you think correctly, that it's an amazing thing that I could talk to Hashem. It's an unbelievable privilege. It's something that's not coming to me. If you think, who? That he's far away, then Hashem says to you, ah, Hashem Elokein, I'm with you all the time. I'm all the time with you. You not following? Moshe.
Seems deep.
Yeah, it is. It is, but obviously that's not the pshat in the pasuk. It's a remez that's hinted in the pasuk. That's what he ends. He says, "Mashen ken kishesoyve shehu nista v'rochim Hashem tarhu ozukar v'nechach Hashem tar Hashem alakein." And the Lutakash Baruch Hu wants us to be able to speak to him directly. The Kashas of Magi, we spoke about this many times, that Tzaddikim say that it should be Kedabi Ishal Re'ehu. Hashem Baruch Hu wants us to speak to him directly. And the Anshei Knesset HaGedolah formulated the brachas in such a way, a Baruch Ata. Baruch Ata. But if you look at the brachas that we make, Rav Soloveitchik, Zichron LeBracha, said this, that in the bracha, You have both nochach and nistar, because every time you make a brach, you say brach ato, which is you, which is very close. But then it's Hashem Elokeinu Melech brach to Hashem Elokeinu. But then it's Melech Ha'olam. Melech Ha'olam means king of the universe. It's very hard to get cozy with the king of the universe. So every bracha has this. All of our davening, it's this, what's called, as you all have heard, Rotzav Hashov. You know, going towards Hashem and then retreating. Because a relationship, really all relationships depend on that. All relationships depend on that. You could be speaking to an Adam Gadol, a tzaddik, a Rosh Hashiva, a great person. And that person is very, very warm and very inviting. And because of that, it's easy for you to talk to him, keep you talking to your friend. You just sort of very easily slip into that kind of a relationship of a mahalach, where you consider yourself, you see yourself as equal with the person you're talking to, even though he's a big tzaddik, he's a big Rosh Hashiva or something. So there needs to be always this closeness and distance. There always needs to be that way. Hashem's Baruch even made marriage in such a way that the way the month is, that there's closeness and there's distance. So you see, a relationship depends on that. For a number of reasons, a relationship depends upon there being that state of running and returning of ata and hu. It was an interesting story that it's a long story, but the gist of it is that there was a young couple that they came to the Holy Visioner that they weren't able to have a child. They had already been married for some time, but they weren't able to have a child. And the Visioner said something to them. He spoke to them. The Visioner said, "How is it possible to bring a child into the world? You're so completely enamored with each other, there's no room for anybody else in your family." Now, you think the original was suggesting that they not love each other? Chas v'shalom. He sensed that there was an overindulgence in each other. Ad kedei kach, that he said that things are, there's no room for anybody else over here. There's no room. You have a husband and wife that they become very, very, also very casual with each other, and they lose a sense of boundaries, of respect. It's a sensitive topic, because when we're talking about inside the house, it's always very, very private and very sensitive, but it's possible over the course of time that a husband and wife, the way that they talk to each other, the way that they dress, the way that they behave with each other, is too casual. too casual, meaning that it's lost a certain feeling of mystery. That the relationship has lost a certain feeling that every relationship needs, that there's some separation, some distance. It doesn't mean disagreement. As I said, that Hashem made marriage in such a way that every month that there be who? Not just, it's not always Atta. It's not always Atta. I was just Isaac this past week with a Chasna Kala. It's no longer Chasna Kala. I mean, they broke up the engagement, but it was I actually had three this week of broken engagements. But this particular one was, there was too much Atta. They were suffocating each other. This Chasna Kala. She felt that she couldn't breathe. She didn't have any space. That he was a person that was constantly hovering. You know people like that. The merachafim, we can call them. They like merachafim up in Hamayim. You know, Hashem. There are certain Jews that the merachafim. That wherever you go, they just sort of hover. They cling. And when you have chasna and kala, so the girl in this particular case, the girl felt that he was from the merachafim, with the texting and the calling and the presence and surprising her at work and surprising her at home and surprising her on the street, and at some point you begin to think that the guy is stalking, like a little bit. Like he's stalking you. It's chasna kala. That's what he tied. I'm your chasen. You know, we're engaged. You got to get used to this. And she was thinking, I don't want to get used to this. This is too much. This is too much. The merachafim. So he mamish didn't understand. He said, no, I want to show her that I love her. And I said that she, you know, this is already going back a few weeks. We were talking about it. I said, but she needs some space, like they say nowadays. You know, a little bit. It's not a relationship like that. To hover. To cling. And if you're saying, yes, but I want that there should be intimacy in the relationship. But that way of hovering and clinging, it takes away from the relationship. It takes away from the relationship. The worst thing now, well, that's a strong lesson, the worst thing. There's the worst things. But there's something now that you have that a lot of husbands are working at home. Because we're living at a time where people could use the computer or the phone. They don't have to go to the city, which is a gewaldig thing. But you notice how at the same time that there are all kinds of places that are opening up, like office space. You notice that? That's like a big parnasa now. People that are making these kind of places. Office spaces, like in the Five Towns, other places, just like, but you need an office space. The guy has a basement. Why does he have to go? Why does he have to pay somebody $1,000? That's probably, why does he have to pay somebody money to go 2 minutes away to Central Avenue to go sit in a little cubicle someplace with a computer? He has downstairs, it's more comfortable in his house. It's smart. The Atta is too much. In order that there should be an Atta, it has to be who? If a husband that doesn't have a job, he's not working. You know how many times over the years, it's a chmanis, on many levels. How many times the wife says, like, you know, I love the guy, but help. Like, he's around the house, or Aitzis and this, and like, I managed with the kid before him, and now it's like, he's everywhere, the guy. Everywhere. Doesn't go away. Doesn't go away. That doesn't mean that she doesn't love him. She loves him, but love means, a relationship means that there's a sense of, there's a time for Atta and there's a time for who. And you have people that beteva, that they're hovering types and they're clinging types. Zachar and the Kavis, that they're hovering and clinging. And Hashem Shmuel doesn't want that. Because intimacy always depends upon running and returning. On Hashem, but Melech HaOlam. Because if HaKadosh Baruch Hu is somebody that is some, if HaKadosh Baruch Hu is somebody that you're not in awe of, and there's no separation or distance, then it becomes something which, there's no cheshek anymore. You're following?
Yeah.
Right? You understand what I'm saying? And there's no cheshek. Cheshek is when there's rotsav v'shoyf, when there's running and returning. When there's closeness and there's some feeling of distance. Besides the whole issue of humility when we're talking about Hashem's bar. But in truth, all relationships depend on that. And now when you have, because everything is constant communication, so the same thing with this guy, this chasna kala, this guy and this girl, so, the texting. And there's so many electronic ways of reminding a person that I'm here, I'm with you, I'm thinking about you. And like, she starts to get spooked out, you know. I'm thinking about you, sending like a heart beating on the, a text of the heart beating. And at some point she starts to feel like, whoa, I'm just at work. I really care for the guy, but I don't need, like, every time I put on my phone to see a selfie of him smiling and throwing a kiss or something. It's... You have that so many times where there's a woman and she's throwing herself at the guy emotionally and physically, and that dafka makes him uncomfortable, not excited. That's all he ever dreamt of, is that he should have this kind of intimacy, but he loses his cheshek.
Youth is wasted on the young.
Yeah. Could use a little of that enthusiasm.
Yeah. Again, everything in the right measure, but he loses his cheshek. He loses his cheshek. It doesn't have any value to it. It becomes something which is regular. It's too regular. When something is very regular, it goes down. It's too regular. Let's see the parish a little bit. Ksiv atu Hashem lokeinu parish. Loshna posuk mischelakis l'shnei chelakim. The Baal Shem Tov, in this remez, in this hint, is dividing the posuk into two parts. Atuhu, and then uses the same word, hu Hashem lokeinu. Right? Atuhu, and then hu Hashem lokeinu. Haroimzim al shnei matzavim shaynim, madregis adam bekevos al Hashem. That's hinting the two different matzavim, two different situations of a person vis-a-vis HaKadosh Baruch Hu, his closeness to Hashem. Kishesoyver ha'odam shuhu noichach Hashem. When a person is overly confident, shezochach kvar lios karv l'Hashem, and he feels, I'm mamash karv l'Hashem, I'm so close to him. Therefore, I could speak to him in such an intimate way of ata. But ata, then really that itself shows shebemesu rochak mehashem. The truth is that he's far from Hashem. V'roy loy davke lifnas l'Hashem, and such a person really, where he's holding, he should be speaking to Hashem in a way of b'toyer who, him. Which is a Lashon Nistar. It's a story that you've heard many times over the years about how the Mizritcha Magid was beginning a shiur with the tzaddikim, with his talmidim, and the Rebbe Reb Zusha wasn't there, and he didn't want to begin without the Rebbe Reb Zusha coming. And they were looking for where was he. They went to some of his favorite places, the shul and his bodidus, the forest, and they couldn't find him. In the end, they found him that he was in bed and he was under his covers. Now, there's a lot of that going on. but here's the difference. When they came to the Rebbe Zusha, he was sitting with a blanket over his head and the blanket was shaking. And I don't know which one of the tzaddikim went to get him. And the Rebbe Zusha said that I was going to get up like regular every day. But I was thinking about Maida Ani. When I started to say Maida Ani, I was thinking, Maida, I was thinking, who I'm giving thanks. Maida Ani, meaning Zusha. Who's Zusha? And I'm thinking, who's Zusha giving thanks to? Lefanecha. Lefanecha. And he says, I can't move. I'm so frightened. I can't get out of bed. Melech. We have no problem with that. Maidan lefnei Rav Chaim Zichron Livracha. Maidan, the Rebbe says, Maidan, Melech, Chai, V'kayim. So I couldn't move. Pachat. The Baal Tanya used to speak about the Yerushalayim of the Rebbe Zushi. We know all the sweet stories, but the Baal Tanya said that the Yerushalayim of the Rebbe Zushi was something that was, there never was such a thing, the Yerushalayim of the Rebbe Zushi. That's the Chiddush. That the Rebbe Zushi was so close. So you think that he'd be like, you know, after all the years of such closeness, that he's like buddy-buddy. What's he afraid? He can't get up. He can't get out of bed. He's afraid. That's what the Baal Shem is talking about. As a davar meid al kasha v'emesu rochak mehashem v'roi lo davke lufnos Hashem etar hu b'loshanister. B'loshanister. That too much of that familiarity of the ata, that feeling that it's like so poshut. Really, that means that you're who? You're in a place of who? Meaning Hashem is far, him, who? Masha'enken kishasai v'hodam shu nista rochik Hashem. But if you feel that it's something that is not so poshut, and you look at yourself, and you see that there are things that are not so gewaldig, and it's not so simple for you to just walk in to his office. Masha'enken kishasayv adam who nista v'rochik Hashem. The person feels that because of things that I've done and who I am, it's not so poshut. Nista v'rochik Hashem, that I'm further from Hashem. V'aydai nidrash mimenu l'salas v'mkayim l'skayv alav, and there's so much I need to do to get closer to him, to draw closer to him. Therefore, he's not so chummy to say right away to feel atta, but rather he feels more of a sense of b'tar who, that it's him. Oz davka dovemeid al kash shabemes hu kar v'noicha chasha. Then that's a sign that really he's a person that is close to Hashem, that's karv to Hashem. V'oy lo davka tor Hashem elokeinu, and the words Hashem Elokeinu, our God, meaning my God, Elokim Shalonu, Hainu Shashem Nimtza B'Kirvoso V'Nikra Al Shmai, that Hashem is B'Kirvoso, and there is that closeness, is something that is befitting this person. This is why it's important. You know, the very often what happens with a person, especially if it's a young person, when he learns the Chassidish Svarim, the impression that he gets by learning a lot of the Chassidish Svarim, especially if you're learning rest of his Svarim, but not only rest of his Svarim, but especially with rest of his Svarim, the feeling that a person gets is like, I could be the biggest Eisvar in the world, I could be the lowest person, I could be mamish, covered from head to toe with filth, and you know, since I'm reading so much about how God loves me, and God loves me, God loves me, that I don't really have to do anything to be close to him. It's the easiest thing in the world, because all you've ever read is that the Baruch Shalom is calling out to you even from the lowest place. And the Hastara B'Sar Hastara, and Hashem is Imcha and Itcha and Etzlecha every single second and so on. All that is true. But especially with a Bocha, many times a person, a Bocha, an adult, but a Bocha especially, can begin to feel like, I could be the same person. Since we see that all Rabbeinu is saying is that Hashem is Baruch is with me in this place, Esek Shemayim, Atziah Shaol, you know, Atziah Shaol, even when I'm in hell, the Rabbeinu Shalom is here with me, and then it says even closer to me than ever before. So guys, starts to think, you know, okay, if he's closer to me than anywhere else when I'm in Gehenna, so like, why get out of Gehenna? Like, why get out of Gehenna? Gehenna seems to be okay. If God is with me here in Gehenna, I can do any aveira in the world and God is with me. Something very, very unsettling and dangerous about how a lot of the Chevra are thinking. They might not talk about that openly, but there's something that goes around in the head. And it takes away the davening of Rosh Hashanah Kippur, and it takes away the davening. a feeling of hishtaikikus of gargum. Rabbi Nachman, of course, wasn't talking about that. He was talking about ratz of hishtaikikus. He was talking about running and returning, and it's a whole different discussion. But that's why it's always important for a person to be in a healthy and balanced place. And
when the closeness is only if it feels like a Gehenna.
That's what the Baal Shem Tov is saying. The closeness is when, exactly, the closeness is when you feel that there's a Gehenna that you're struggling with. And of course, Rabbi Nachman, there's no one like Rabbi Nachman that gave chizik. And to understand what that chizik is in a deeper way. That's why when Hasidim would come, or when Jews would come to the Satmar Rebbe Shul Shalom to ask about Breslov HaSvarim, which the Satmar Rebbe knew all the Breslov HaSvarim Baal Peh, he knew them by heart. He gave the first money to contribute to printing Lukut HaLachas in America that came from the Satmar Rebbe's pocket. He was a very, very big chassid of Rabbi Nachman. But when they used to come to him to ask about learning Breslov HaSvarim, so the Satmar Rebbe used to say, Shaila, Rabbi Nachman, but make sure to learn also other Svarim, not just to learn other Svarim. The aura, the light of Rabbi Nachman is very, very, very strong in such a way. And one of the things that I believe that he was saying was that if you're not balancing your learning with Musar and with other Svarim that remind you a little bit about the who, then with Rabbi Nachman you could begin, if that's all you're doing, you could begin to feel Everything is Atta. It's not just Rabbi Nachman, Kedushas Levi, and so on. There are certain Svarim that are oozing with Atta, which are unbelievable, and give us life, mamish. But at the same time, as we were talking about until now, that a person has to feel that there's a distance, not to take that closeness for granted. And if you do, then you're not really close. Could be you're just playing a game. Could be you're just playing a game. People do that in marriage as well. It's always in relationships with kids also. You know, this is very simple. Let's just be the last thing over here. Torah Hashem Lekeinu Elokim Shalano Hainu Hashem Nimsa Bekivasa Benikra Al Shmai. And he brings in footnote 3 from the Baal Tanya Lekutei Torah. Anoich Hashem Lekecha. So Hashem gives the Torah in such a way. Anoich Hashem Lekecha. Peir Shayiya Bechinas Shem Havaya Meyu Mizgalabacha Kolkach Adshi Nikra Al Shimcha Lios Elokecha Elokim Shalcha. Hashem said, Anochi Hashem Elokecha. I want to be, Hashem said when he gave us the Torah, I want to be your God. I want you to have that closeness. But you see that when he said those words, there was thunder and lightning, there was a pachad. Har Sinai was not a comfortable event. We weren't comfortable at Har Sinai. We weren't sitting back in you know, lounging chairs with our feet. Yeah, like the way guys sit in Beis Medrash, you know what I'm talking about. You have with a chair back and the yarmulke up in the front looking like he's the Melech HaOlam himself. you're sitting in front of the Torah or by davening, which I've spoken about. People sit with the davening with their legs crossed, like they're reading the newspaper. Sit, that's a relaxed stance. Right? Your legs crossed. That's a relaxed stance. So sit by davening like that, or leaning back. Or during a shiur, you have people that sit like this. I know because I'm giving thousands of shiurim for all the years. You have guys that sit like this, even before they fall asleep. Falling asleep is something else. No, but they're doing this balancing thing with the chair, which is, besides that, it's also being mazik the chairs of the, you know, the shul that pays for those chairs. But you have people that they sit back. You ever seen a shiur? Look around at the next shiur, guys that sit like that. All they need is you need to get one of those things for tanning. You're learning Torah. What are you sitting like this? Learning Torah. Kevin's saying you have to sit. Even though the word tzaddikim that they mamish, the word tzaddikim that they never ever sat back. The Chofetz Chaim didn't sit back. The Chalal, he never sat back. He always sat. The Chofetz Chaim never sat like that. That's not a madrega we could, but chach, when you're learning Torah, when you're davening, you sit with your legs crossed. Where's the atta? You're such good friends that you're having like a shmooze with the Baruch Shalom. You don't have to sit with any. There's no yira. There's no aimer. There's no yira. There's just that relationship is one that You don't daven with your legs crossed. You don't sit and learn Torah. Okay, sit and learn Torah like you're watching a movie or something. It's a certain feeling of when we were at Har Sinai. Chazal say the Gemara says in Brachos it was Ema Yira Resus Vizeya, that the same way that when we received the Torah at Har Sinai there was trembling, and we were perspiring, and we were nervous and so on. When you're learning Torah, you learn Torah in that state of purity, of Ema Yira Resus Vizeya. That you're learning Torah, you're davening. To be in that place of you see with the malachim there, the malachim are not relaxed in davening. When you read, the malachim are not relaxed. So Terry says, okay, if I would be a malach, I also wouldn't be relaxed. We say that we're not malachim, we don't see things like they see things. But the b'cholza is to remember that there's ata and who. And who, and then Elokim. Goes around like that. Yes.
Is ata and who the same as ahava versus yira?
Yes.
Sure. Same thing.
Yeah. That's it. Yes.
The question, I think, really is, how do you not make the davening, and I'm new somewhat to this, not to be mundane. Things that are mundane, that are every day, we take for granted, and we just do in a habit, and really don't appreciate it. Like
right.
The davening.
It's very hard. Takes a lot of work.
So we're trying to figure out, so the key is not to get into that place, is the hard one.
Very hard. Anything that you do day after day, same thing like marriage, right? That's what I was saying. Something that is day after day could become plain. It could become plain. It's very, very hard when you do something and it's day in, day out to feel a sense of awe. There are two answers for that. And the words are very similar, but they're different worlds. And connected. There are two words. One is his bodidus, and the other is his boninus. Without his bodidus, and without his boninus, then it becomes just stam. Like his boninus, of course, means meditation and contemplation. As we get closer to Mashiach, we're going to be learning more about his boninus and his bodidus. There's a Rav Kluge's Sefer was just translated to English. They were selling it here in the shul. Avi Levy bought a whole box of them. You know what it's called?
One.
You saw it? Reuven, you saw it?
Briefly.
Yes or no?
No.
Okay. What are you, a lawyer or something? Person says yes or no. That's how lawyers are. Well, it depends. Okay, you didn't see it. Well, you should get it. So you missed out. I'm sure Avi can get you some more. If not, we'll arrange it to get you some more.
They're in the store here.
Oh, we have?
Yeah. No,
in the Judaica Plus?
Yeah, Judaica Plus has.
Okay, Baruch Hashem. So that's Yichud HaHizboidus. There, Rav Kluger, the whole Sefer is on this inyan of how to develop that relationship of Mashpia, Makabel, Makabel, Mashpia, in a relationship with Hashem, running and returning. A sefer like that, now it's in English, Baruch Hashem. For years, they were working on it, and it came out now beautiful, beautiful. First, there was a translation that wasn't so good. Now, it's mamish beautiful. It's very easy to remember the name, One. And you have to sit and learn. And learn, and not to wait for somebody to give a shiur on it. There are a lot of Jews that do that. Well, you know, when are you planning to give a shiur on the Sefer? In 4 years. Okay, so in 4 years I'll try to work this out. You know, so many times people say that to me, like, when are you going to be look, what's the matter with you? Look, start learning it. I don't know. I'm doing other stuff now. Learn it. Okay, if someone says that, I don't understand Lashon. So if a person doesn't understand the Sefer, it's Lashon HaKodesh, say it. But now if something is in English, so get the Sefer and sit down and learn. Spend a half hour a day learning One. Sit down with the Sefer and with a highlighter and with stickies and underlining and folding pages and working through and doing the exercise. That's a Sefer of his bodidus.
What are the two?
You have from Rav Schwartz, middle of Avi. came out before the summer. In the last winter, came up with the Sefer Das Nishmascha. Okay, that's in Hebrew. It's not yet in English. It'll be in English. But Das Nishmascha is a primer on his Bodidus and his Bonidus, both. It's a primer. It's an introduction to the world of his Bodidus and his Bonidus.
What are the two words?
So, what are you...
I don't understand what the rabbi is saying. What are the two different words?
His Bodidus? No. His Bodidus means... The word Badad means to be alone. So his bodhidus means, that's a very big avoid in Breslau, right? His bodhidus means to go someplace quiet by yourself, levad, and to talk to Hashem in your own words. Right? Not just to the siddur, but to the, that's his bodhidus. His bonenus means lahavin. What does it mean, lahavin? It means to contemplate, to think, to understand. That's meditation. So there's meditation, and I don't know how to translate his bodhidus. What's the translation? But this, huh?
Secluding
oneself and personal tefillah.
Meditation and personal tefillah is not the same?
No. Meditation is silence and thinking. Contemplating.
Alone.
Also, it's much... They're both...
Alone,
they're both...
With God.
They're both... It's not... In his bodhidus, it's not... You're not then... You're not in that back and forth. You're thinking about... You're thinking about things, about HaKadosh Baruch Hu and yourself and so on. It's a place of contemplation. It's not relating. It's contemplating. His bodhidus, or the dialogues, his bodhidus is relating. Relating. So these are two avoiders that we have from the tzaddikim, not just from chassidim. It's not just from the Baal Shem Tov. This is from all the way back. This is the way of the Nevi'im. The way of the Nevi'im. The way of Moshe Rabbeinu, Avraham Avinu, and so on. His bonidus and his bodidus. Otherwise, it becomes plain. And it's just, you know what? If you don't spend some time thinking about how wonderful your wife is, his bonidus, meditating, how good she is to you, and what she's done for the family, and how much you love her. If you don't think about that, at Aleph, and you don't have time for what? His bodhidus, being alone and quiet, and being able to have, with everything else in life, off, you're not going to have much of a relationship with her either. It's the basis of relationship. His bodhidus and his bodhidus. You think and you contemplate who this person is to me. And you spend time alone with that person. If either of those are not there, certainly if both are missing, then what's to stop the relationship from becoming very, very plain, very mundane? It becomes very plain. And then you could, you know, be one of the I love you guys, you know. Every time you hang up the phone, I love you. But the word long ago has lost its meaning. I love you. It's not really nothing. And same thing, you could talk to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, you could daven. While you're flossing your teeth. Doesn't mean anything. If you don't think, and you're not alone. Those are the two requirements. Thinking and being alone. And in Tufshin Ayin Tes in 2018, those are the two most difficult things that we have now. Thinking and being alone. Right? Thinking and being alone. It's too hard. It's now we're coming to the long Friday nights now, Baruch Hashem. It's my favorite time. I love this time of the year, the long Friday nights. I think next week we change the clock, so 2 weeks we're going to have already. That's usually when people start making events on Friday night, you know what I mean? Just when there's a little quiet time. So you have the long Friday night. And the children are sleeping. It's when you have little kids, it's quiet. And your Rebbetzin already went to sleep. And it's only, you know, it could be 8:30, 9 o'clock. His bite of this. The Shabbos is of the winter. The holiest Shabbos is of the year. The Shabbos is of the winter. A person takes advantage of it. it's not just a question of, you know, that's not that I have now more sleeping hours. More sleeping hours. Rabbi Nachman says in Sefer Amidus, since we're talking about Rabbi Nachman says in Sefer Amidus that the more a person sleeps, the stronger sign it is, unless he's not well, God forbid. But if a person's healthy, and the more he sleeps, it's a sign about him being further and further away from Hashem. So Rabbi Nachman says in Sefer Amidus. The more a person sleeps, not a sick person, a healthy person, but if he's sleeping a lot, it's a symptom that he could know on himself that he's very far from God. You can think about what that means. If a person sleeps a lot, it's a sign that he's far from God. So Rabbi Nachman says in Sefer Amidus. He doesn't explain that. He left it for us to sleep over. To think about what that means. Why does that mean that a person is far from God if he sleeps a lot? Imagine saying this in public now, this, if I would say this on Shabbos morning, half the Olim didn't get to shul yet. They're sleeping. to see grown men, they can't make it to shul at 8:30, or they're krechsing. How many times I had people who were begging me for 8:45? Like, why does it mean to be far from Hashem? The whole inyan of Hashkam, when a person's life is filled with excitement and with meaning, and for him davening is something which is valuable, it's something which is important, not that he's trying to get past or get through. Then you arrange if you're a person that you feel that you're, that for whatever reason, you need more sleep. There are people that talk like that I need more sleep. You need more sleep. Other people that need more eating and need more other taivas. You need more sleep. Maybe there was such a thing. I don't know. So it could be a half hour maybe when you get, maybe you start getting older. I don't know. But not to say that the person has to go to sleep Friday night at 9 o'clock and gets up at 9 o'clock the next morning to go to sleep for 12 hours. Person, you hear such a thing that it's like a boy, like a little kid or a teenager or something, to go to sleep for 12 hours. Is that, and the thought of getting up at 6 o'clock is unbearable, or at 5 o'clock is something which is unbearable. But those are the sweetest hours when the world is sleeping. Early in the morning and very late at night. Those are the sweetest hours of life. Those are times of strong hisbodidus and hisbonidus. So now we're living in a time when during the waking hours you're constantly in the noise of the phone, of the emails and the texting and the stuff and the phone. You're constantly in that noise. And then when it comes to the time of hisbodidus, you're tired. So then where does that leave you in life? Where does it leave you? What do you have? There's no inyan of lavad. There's no inyan of being yourself, by yourself. So I'm giving you a prescription, Reuven. Go to the store and get the book 1 by Rav Kluger and start learning it. Start learning it. Don't learn a lot at a time. Learn a little bit at a time, a few pages. But the same way you remember when you were studying for school and you had to know for a test, not leaning back in the chair with your feet up, learning it and underlining and making little notes for yourself. And that's how davening becomes something which is important. Thinking and being alone. There's no other way. In this next piece, Shem Tov HaKadosh, along these lines, you know what? In footnote 3, it's the second part of footnote 3. Just take a look there. It's a very famous marshal from one of the tzaddikim, from the Mezuzah Shemagid, not from the Mezuzah Shemagid, from Mendel from Bar, from that Chavraya. He brings Chen Shemati Moshe Meirav Amagid Meram Rav Hakadosh Rav Mendel Menachem Mendel Mibar Moshe Sulam Hasayvev. You know what he means? Sulam Hasayvev, a staircase. That's what's it called? The
spiral
staircase, right? Sulam Asayve, Madregas Ailus Betsuras Sevivas. We have a spiral staircase. Kshuadain Lamata. Now, the spiral staircase, the way that it works, is you could be on the bottom, and Roya Hamelech Lamala, and it's in the palace, and you're at the bottom, but because of how it is, this, you could see the king on top. But when you start your trip to go up the spiral staircase, you make that turn, right? Then you don't see the king. With a regular staircase, if someone's standing at the top of the staircase, you see him every single step, you're getting closer, right? Regular staircase, he's at the top, you're at the bottom. Every step that you're taking, you're looking at the king. You're walking up the steps towards the king. But with a spiral staircase, when you start to go up, then you don't see him. When you're down, you're stuck down below, then you see him. So that's strange. I'm getting closer to him, and Dafka, because I'm getting closer to him, I don't see him. Right? You understand? That's what he says, the Magid. It's the Kishu Adayin Lamata Roy HaMelech Lamala. When you're in a place where when you recognize that you're far away, you're at the bottom, then you're able to see the king. Lamala. But when you're Oyla Lamala, now we're talking about when you think that you're ready, Oyla Lamala, any Roya Turkilit, Yas Afshab Emesu Meskaib Yoysa Lamala. Uksha Oyla Lamala, well, he's saying that a little bit differently. Uksha Oyla Lamala, now you're going up the spiral staircase. Any Roya De Aliyasa, don't get nervous. So now you don't see the king. But you should know that from that place of being at the bottom, you really oyla lamala, you are ascending. So even though you don't see the king, that feeling of being at the bottom of the staircase, you know, that feeling of being at the bottom of the staircase and then beginning your ascent, even though any roya tarkide aliyos, avshub emesu meskaiv yos lamala. Now the truth is you're getting closer to the king because you're going up this spiral staircase. You are getting closer to the king. But as you get closer to him, you dafka don't see him. As you get closer to him, there's a certain pachad, as we're talking about, that you don't see him. When you're far away, you feel like it's noichach, like you see him all the time. As you're getting closer to him, you don't see him like that. You're getting closer, but you don't see him that way. There's a mashal. Okay. So from Tillim and the Shem Alice. The person is walking on, crying, weeping. That's the person who's carrying a measure of seeds. He will return. Birina, enjoy. Noise alumosav. He's carrying, not seeds, he's carrying, alumosav means the sheaves, like the bundles of wheat. We say that pasuk all the time, every time we say shamals. Holoch yelech uvacha, he walks and walking on weeping. That's the person who's carrying the measure of seeds. Boyovo, the one who's returning, returns in joy. He's carrying sheaves. Now, the simple pshat and pasuk is that when you're planting stuff, it's hard, you're crying. You know, as you're planting, you don't know what's going to be. So you're carrying the seeds and you're crying. Holoch yelech uvachai. And then if everything works out and the stuff grows, noise meshech hazara, you walk back after the season. You walk back. Noise meshech hazara. Then noise elu moisav. And you're carrying heavy bundles of the sheaves of wheat. In other words, it was a good season. So when you're going to plant, you're crying. And when you're returning from the, hopefully it'll be with the joy of having a good season and carrying the sheaves. That's the Simple pshat and pasuk. Right? The Baal Shem HaKadosh taught like this. Bir pasuk holuch yelucho vachai. Perush. Sheim chayshe lahalicha uvoiche umitztayer alalichosoi ma'avodas Hashem Yisbarach. If a person thinks of his matziv, his state of avodas Hashem, as one of halicha, that I've walked away from it, I'm far away from God. Same yisod. Haloch yelech, that I'm just walking further and further away from him. And he's what? He's boiche, haloch yelech uvoche, and he cries. Umitztayer, and he has it. He is upset, al halichasai me'avodas Hashem Yisbarach, that he has walked so far away from his Yiddishkeit. That's haloch yelech uvachai. Then the Baal Shem says, as soifai, in the end, it's going to work out good. Noisei meshach hazara. And in the end, he'll be able to see, noisei meshach hazara, the Baal Shem is saying, it's hinting to be able to see peiros. He'll see great amount of fruit. He'll see good things in his Yiddishkeit. Masha'en kein misha choshev la'atzma l'biya. But if a person thinks he's already arrived, bo yavo, I'm there. Not that I'm away, not haloch yelech. Bo yavo, I'm already there. If he thinks that he's already arrived at great closeness to Kedusha, he's already a big tzaddik, he thinks of himself as being a big tzaddik. The first person is haloch yelech. I think I'm far away, I've walked so far away from God. So that person is really, such a person, be'emes, is noisei meshach hazara. So really, he's carrying the seeds of great avodas Hashem. But the person who's bo yavo, that person who's bo yavo, and because of that, he thinks he's so close. And because of that, he's berina. He's always like, you know, he's not crying. He's happy. He's in a good mood. He feels like he's a tzaddik. He's in a good mood. In the end, right? So he says, mikarach zeh hu berina v'simcha l'basoif noyis elu moysof. In the end, noyis elu moysof means he's just carrying bundles of straw, the Baal Shem is saying. He's carrying like bundles of straw. He doesn't have anything. Zara means seed. So seed, meaning that something's going to come from it. So let's, just to put it together like this. It's not the Pshat and Pasuk. To put it to the remez of the Baal Shem Tov is, there's a Jew who's holoch yelech uvachal. He looks at himself, and he sees himself as walking, in his life, he has walked so far away from it. He's gone far away from Hashem. And because of that uvachal, he's crying. He has agmas nefesh, that he's far from Hashem. So the Baruch Shalom says to such a person, you should know that because of that, in the end, since you have that humility, and you don't see yourself as such a big tzaddik, obviously in a healthy way, in the end, noisei meshach hazara, you're carrying the seeds of something great. That humility, that you're crying and you feel distant. Then you have another kind of a Jew, who's a bo yavadik Jew, bo yavad berina. He feels he's there. He's a tzaddik, he's a kaddish, bo yavad berina, because of that, he's happy. He's satisfied. The rina here means he's satisfied. He feels satisfied with himself. So such a person, he should know, the Baal Shem says, is nois elu moysav. His whole life he's just carrying around straw, garnish, not seeds, straw. Nois elu moysav, bundles of straw that don't add up to anything. Because he thinks of himself as being some kind of an ish kaddish. That's the Torah over here. He thinks he's a tzaddik, so he's berina v'simcha. There's no seed, b'lizera means nothing comes of it. So no zera, there's no seed, there's nothing that comes out from any of this. Okay, let's go. We're going to have to go downstairs. So we'll go downstairs. We'll continue next week. Yeah.
Is anybody wants to book one?